Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Doctors Roundtable, a forum for conversations with Atlanta's leading doctors and thought leaders about cutting-edge trends and topics in health, wellness, and lifestyle issues. Here's our host, Tanya Mack.
Hello, everyone. I appreciate you joining us as we count down toward getting closer to Thanksgiving and taking a few minutes out of your day today to spend with us. We're going to have a great topic today. We normally have MDs in here today, but I'm going to bring you something very special. We're going to talk about dentistry, and I have with me Dr. Albert Bawo. Welcome, Dr. Bawo.
Thank you.
And I'm going to tell you a little bit about him in a minute, but the reason that we picked the topic is I think a lot of people think about dentistry as routine cleaning, their experience of it, routine cleaning, fillings, and at the worst case, maybe a crown or a root canal. But today we're going to talk about a very different side of dentistry. Certainly Dr. Bawo does all of those things, but in addition, he has some very unique talents and specialized training that allows him to practice dentistry in a hospital setting and for special needs children and for dental trauma, which is not your everyday run-of-the-mill dental practice. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and I think it'll be very interesting. But let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Bawo. He obtained his dental degree at the Medical College of Georgia here in our state, and then went on to do an internship at Emory in oral and maxillofacial surgery, correct?
That's correct.
Very good. So already you just did not have enough, and you went on to do the next thing. He has in private practice in the Buckhead area today, and he's been very active in the Dental Society as well, serving as vice president of the North Georgia's Dental Society. So welcome.
Thank you. It's great to have you here.
Very good. So I know that people have different pathways to their profession, but I always like to start the show by talking about how you ended up with Dentistry 1 and then in this specialized area that you went on to do a fellowship, number 2.
Good. Well, I thank you again for this opportunity. I am very grateful and appreciative of this opportunity to share about some of the things I've experienced and what I like to do. Dentistry is fun, and we've enjoyed it, and I think I've had an awesome experience with dentistry. It started in my childhood in the past, maybe about the year 1985. I hope I'm not dating myself, but I was playing football, and I had an injury to my front teeth, and that prompted me, one, for dental trauma, because that happened. It was a freak accident while we were playing flag football. And after that incident, I worked with my family dentist. He was so awesome and opened up his doors, one, for the dental trauma to fix the problem. And then he said, okay, well, maybe we can find some more work for you to do. And needless to say, that led the way for me to pursue some other things in dentistry. And he opened the door for me on the side of learning how to interact in a dental setting with employees and interact as someone that's learning from the ground up what to do and what not to do. He also showed me how to connect with patients. And now going forward, I'm working with him some in regards to continuing to master some of the things that he was showing me. And I've had an opportunity to mentor some other dentists and mentor some
other
students.
Very good. So pay it forward. Very good. Now, you brought a guest with you I'd like to introduce to. We have also in the studio with us today, Ms. Mashenda Douglas. Welcome, Mashenda.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, yeah, and her role is really the business part of dentistry, so she makes sure that the patients can get seen and get their appointment, that kind of thing, and we'll chat with you a little bit about that in the future, in a few minutes. So, you like your story, most physicians or healthcare providers start with a personal experience that kind of jumpstarts their interest in giving back or helping back, and it sounds like you fit into that category.
Sure.
Very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about this oral maxillofacial fellowship that you did, because I know that probably the lion's share of dentists, when they graduate, actually start practicing and don't want to keep going for training.
You're exactly right. We're so gung-ho. Once we come out of dental school,
ready to start making money, quit paying off that student loan.
We've taken out all those school loans, and now we're ready to chomp at the bit. And of course, as a new doctor, you need mentors, and you need mentors that are be willing to show you. And I was at Emory. They're very, very phenomenal. And while I was there, a lot of times I realized that I didn't know everything. Mm-hmm. You see where your knowledge ends and the doctors that have had more experience begins. And when you're treating patients in dental school, they screen your patients. You're seeing patients that have already been pre-screened. Mm-hmm. So you develop a security based on seeing patients that have already been pre-screened. Mm-hmm. But once you graduate, you see everybody.
Yeah, private practice. You're just going to pick up the phone and they're coming. That's right.
Yes. And from working at the various hospitals in Atlanta, you are able to see patients that have not been screened before, and you have to respond appropriately. Mm-hmm. And having senior doctors made it a lot easier for you to lean on them to give you some advice or give you some suggestions. And of course, at Emory, they're very, very well trained, and we cover so many different hospitals, from Children's Healthcare of Atlanta with Eggleston's, Scottish Rite, mm-hmm. also Grady, Hugh Spaulding, and the VA, mm-hmm. along with the main Emory campus.
Right. So in your fellowship training, then, you're really focusing, is it more on surgical aspects of dental care, where you're more focused in a hospital setting?
Sure. We were focused on working in the ER. We dealt with dental trauma, which kind of spared me.
See, I was thinking you were going to tell me you were like NHL. Like, I think of hockey hockey players lose their teeth, not flag football player.
There was a hockey player that was at Grady. I'm not going to say his name, but it was a similar experience, and we were able to work with him, mm-hmm. and we were able to restore his mouth back mm-hmm. to full health, mm-hmm. and he was very, very grateful.
I'm sure. I'm glad. When you need it, you want it. That's good. Well, let's start talking a little bit about hospital dentistry, because that is out of the norm for the everyday population that's thinking of dentistry. And tell me a little bit about what kind of conditions are you going to see and treat in a hospital setting?
Wow. I am very fortunate to have partnered with WellStar, mm-hmm. and I've been working with them for a few years. Mm-hmm. From working with WellStar, it's given me an opportunity to reach a group of patients that normally we aren't able to see. Mm-hmm. We aren't able to meet all of their needs. There's limitations with what pediatric dentists are able to do. Mm-hmm. Once the children get a certain age, they need to see an adult dentist. Mm-hmm. There's a market for special needs such as autism, developmental delay, Down syndrome, that they were not being able to have comprehensive care when they reached a certain age. So along with the DDD Foundation, which stands for Dentistry for the Developmental Disabled, we were able to work on patients that have had significant health issues, and that has carved a niche for me at the hospital. So we're able to provide comprehensive care to those that are not able to be seen comfortably in a setting that's in a private practice. Most of the patients are extremely grateful, and trust me, the parents are exceptional, mm-hmm. and they are very, very concerned about their children and how they can get them back mm-hmm. to a normal life.
So are there special considerations? Like, do they sit for the procedures? Do mm-hmm. they have different needs in their mouth than, mm-hmm. you know, a normal kid, if you would?
Well,
what's the unusual piece?
Teeth or teeth? I know that's very bland, but mm-hmm. the main part is sometimes there are special developmental conditions mm-hmm. that cause different changes. Mm-hmm. And what we've discovered is when we are able to bring them to the hospital, we're not only able to do a thorough evaluation, there are things that the parents aren't able to do. Mm-hmm. For instance, parents aren't always comfortable with doing a cleaning. And okay. sometimes, you know, you do the best you can mm-hmm. with the different mm-hmm. scenario. Usually the children are very receptive to a particular parent more so than the other, and once they develop a relationship. So we've been able to tap into those different aspects. And in our clinic, we'll do a quick cursory exam, mm-hmm. and then in the hospital, we'll do a very thorough exam and meet them at their point of need. We'll take care of whatever condition that they need for that particular tooth, whether it's a root canal, crown, extraction, or just a deep cleaning.
Are hospitals set mm-hmm. up to have all the equipment you need? I don't think of a hospital as having like...
Sure. Well,
they are?
They're a phenomenal hospital. WellStar, I've partnered with them, and they've worked extensively with me to make sure that
you have what you need.
I need is there and okay. it's available. Okay. And you are able to have almost a plethora of nurses that are just really willing and able to help and make sure that the patient's comfortable, the parent's comfortable, and the doctor's comfortable.
Now, do you have dental assistants that go with you in the hospital, or are they trained
there
at the hospital?
Yes, I have. I have two assistants that have come with me, and both of them are trained.
Like a scrub nurse, only you got your other pair of hands is going with you.
Yeah, they're my eyes, my ears. They help to make sure that while we're working on the patient, that things go smoothly. Mm-hmm. And they've had an exceptional number of years of training. One of the benefits of being a dental assistant is it gives you an opportunity to assist the dentist. But a notch above that is a certified dental assistant. They met various criteria. They're able to take a board exam, which sets them apart by the Dental Assistant
National
Board. My
college roommate was a dental assistant. She had a 4-year degree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they have a wide range of education
yes.
in there, for
and
sure.
And so both of these individuals are able to assist me because the hospital has certain credentials that they need to meet. And that is one of the reasons why I've selected them, because they've met those credentials and they passed a board exam.
What about dental phobias with children? I want to talk about that because I was one. You're going to laugh when you hear this. I was 30 years old before I had any anesthesia whatsoever.
30.
I did not want any needles. I did not want anything. He would just tell me, "Now, honey, it's going to hit the nerve." And I would just grin and bear it. That's how petrified I was.
Wow.
So now I know it's a lot different. There's a lot more tools you have. But how do you deal with that, the phobias of dental in kids?
Phobias are real. One of the biggest fears is public speaking. And another big fear, of course, is dying and heights. Mm-hmm. And not too far behind that is the dentist.
That's me.
So when we have patients, they're always, "Oh, you know, I had a horrible experience as a child." And
that's
that,
me.
I hate the dentist. You hear those common phrases. And the reason why is because everybody's experience has been totally different from childhood. Mm-hmm. And dentistry has come a long way. When we have a patient that is very fearful and afraid, we do our best to adopt the tell, show, do. We tell them what we're going to do before we do it. We show them what it's done, and then we do it. Mm-hmm. And that tends to help. But in certain cases, it is not able to help when the phobia is very severe.
Mm-hmm.
We use different agents to help with sedation, such as nitrous oxide. That's a means that we help to make the child more comfortable. And also, if they need a large amount of work, we'll take them to the hospital at Windy Hill Wellstar.
And then they'll knock them out and they'll get it all done.
And we'll get it
all done.
And
they'll love you.
And they'll love me. I remember there was one that just hated coming to the dentist, and mom had a terrible time with getting him to brush, and he just really didn't like us. And at first, I gelled with him pretty well, and my assistant, we just made him feel real relaxed. And the more relaxed he
became, laughing gas? Is that still used?
Yes, yeah. we use it, but it wouldn't have worked on him.
Oh, okay.
Certain age groups, you can't use nitrous on because they're too small or it's not going to be as effective. And it all depends on the person. And the phobia is always real, just like earlier with the heights and public speaking.
You're up there. Well, it's good you have tricks of the trade to use that. I kind of want to go back to talk a little bit about the hospital side, because I know not only just we think of the mouth, but as a oral maxillofacial surgeon, you actually might get involved in mandibular, head and neck reconstruction for cancer patients. Kind of explore a little bit more with us on
different kinds of cases. I want to clarify. I'm a general dentist.
Oh, okay.
I trained with the oral maxillofacial surgeon.
All right.
And that's a lot of what they do. They do a lot of reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And from observing several oral surgeons and assisting several oral surgeons, I've seen a numerous amount of fractures.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when we were at the hospital, we had to take care of those that happened from dental trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. You know, certain parts of the year, certain dental trauma tends to occur. And
is it around sports? Like
around
in your case,
sports.
Is it around sports season? And you'll see more.
You'll see quite a bit. And then when it's cold, it seems to be more gunshot wounds. But when it's hot, it seems to be a lot more fractures and bone fractures. And were able to do quite a bit of that at Emory, and also from, you know, just spending time with some of the other oral surgeons that have mentored me.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about another thing that I think is up and coming. Used to be kind of exotic or only for the rich, but I see it all the time now, and that's dental implants.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about how that's incorporated into your practice and a little bit about how that works, and just kind of take us from start to finish on a schooling about dental implants.
Sure. You know, dental implants is the cutting edge. Everyone wants a dental implant, or either they've heard about it.
Well, it used to be because people would have to have their teeth pulled, have dentures, and they'd lose their teeth. And now there's a new option. It's not actually that new, but new to the general public, I would say.
That's correct. So dental implants, one is a very affordable option because more insurance plans are covering it. I'm an implantologist, and that means I perform the surgery and also restore the implant. To do both, it sets you apart in the sense that you're not just focused on the surgery aspect, which is placing the implant. You're also concentrate on the functional aspect, which is placing a restoration so that the patient can eat or chew and function with it. The first step is to assess the patient, make sure that they're a good candidate. Every patient is not a good candidate for implants. Once you've determined that they're an appropriate person or candidate for the procedure, you will do your radiographs and explaining and informing the patient before you do it about the surgery and what to expect. In our office, we perform our surgery at the hospital where we put them to sleep to do it. And some
is that typical?
Some offices don't have that luxury. And you have patients that have had various experiences. At one point, I have done it at the office, and I realized the best experience is what I want to concentrate on and to promote. Most patients will love you if they had a great experience. They will hate you if they didn't have a great experience. So I tend to prefer to do the surgery by sedation because the patient's a lot more comfortable. Now, after this surgery, you give the bone time to heal and to accept the implant. And sometimes it can
be... How long is that?
It varies. It can be 6 months on the top jaw and 4 months on the bottom jaw. But research is showing that they're able to load the implant in a lot shorter time frame. So it's not the 6 months, which was typical, or it's not the 4 months.
Why are they different top to bottom?
The difference is the density of the bone and the strength of the bone. And that's what plays a role in the success of the implant and also the skill set of the surgeon. But some implants are able to be loaded in a shorter time frame. And it all depends on, as the surgeon is placing it, if he's able to get the appropriate amount of torque so that it, he can it's load it, because sometimes they are loaded immediately.
And tell me a little bit about how many, like, can you just do one? Can you do a whole mouth? Like, how is this an option instead of dentures for people, or are most people getting them to replace a tooth here and there?
It varies. The sky's the limit. Implants are just amazing. You have options where the implant is supported with the denture, and then you have single unit implants or patients that have multiple implants. The sky's the limit. It depends on each person's need. And one of the things now is patients are looking for something that's more natural and cosmetic. Implants are natural and they're cosmetic. They make your smile look great. And not only are they able to make your smile great, you can function with it. Like I was saying earlier, you're able to load the implant sooner now.
What does load it mean?
To restore it so that they can be at a point where they can function with the implant.
Put some pressure, pressure-wise, daily living.
Correct. And we tend to do in the maxilla and on the mandibular. The maxilla is the top jaw and the mandibular is the bottom. We tend to do as many implants as the patient can afford, or either if they want to do a hybrid, which is a combination of a denture and an implant, we can do that as an option.
Okay, so they're going to come in for a consult. You're going to see what all they need done, what they want to have done, and then you're going to decide hospital, probably hospital, and then do a combination of things to get the end result that they desire.
Sure.
Could you actually do an entire mouth of implants and the patient would do fine? I just think of when I have one cavity, mm-hmm. it hurts me when that Novocaine wears off, and I'm thinking right. like my head would explode if you did that to me.
Right. One of the beauties about the mouth is that once you've had a procedure done, and I will simplify it with wisdom teeth, we tend to encourage you to get them all out. Mm-hmm. And the recovery time typically is about 2 weeks. So if you consider the recovery time and the surgery, the recovery period, you want to limit that so that the patient can heal and continue to proceed. And the implants are similar in the sense that if you do the surgery, and sometimes patients are able to say or resume their normal function mm-hmm. in a short time frame, you want to make sure that the recovery period is not extensive. So it's not the number of implants you're placing, it's the skill of the surgeon. Mm-hmm. And now we have so much technology that we're able to capitalize on CT scans and mm-hmm. scanners so we can get moles and guides. Mm-hmm. So the surgery is not as invasive, mm-hmm. which means that your recovery period mm-hmm. is shorter mm-hmm. and patients will love you.
So do you have to have all your teeth out and then let your gums recover and then you do the surgery? You do it all at once for the implant?
It varies. Every okay. need is different. We okay. have a lot of workers' comp cases where they've had injury to the front. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they were partying too hard and mm-hmm. had a fall the next day or had an unforeseen situation happen while they were at work, and there's injury on the front tooth. And because the front teeth are so critical to your smile, it's so critical to your esteem and your value. When mm-hmm. you look at someone and they smile, that's the first thing that you see mm-hmm. is their teeth.
And in the mirror, that's the first thing we see. And we feel good about ourselves or not.
And as a dentist, that's the first thing I see mm-hmm. are the teeth. Uh-huh. And so we had a number of situations where they have to be done right away or in a shorter uh-huh. time frame. And it just depends on
probably
where
especially
the location.
Trauma. I would guess if you had a trauma, not like mm-hmm. a year from now. I mean, I'm sure if they came a year from now, you could help them, but probably restoratively, the sooner the better.
The sooner the better, because mm-hmm. they want to look their best and mm-hmm. feel their best.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it sounds like that's a good thing you're there. Yeah, a lot of people have problems. what are some trends? Are there other? Oh, this is a question I want to ask you. Are there other prosthetics besides implants that you're working with?
Sure. Anytime you're replacing a tooth, is a prosthesis. The main goal is to function. Mm-hmm. And when you're functioning, that it requires you to either do a crown, mm-hmm. a bridge, or partial, or mm-hmm. a denture. Mm-hmm. And those are prostheses. It's similar to okay. knee replacements or a okay. replacement of a limb.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about any other trends that are coming up. Like, what are you excited about that you've seen kind of coming down the pike that you're waiting for? Is it a material? Is it a procedure? What's kind of happening?
That's a good question. Dentistry is becoming very digital. And when I say digital, patients, they want it now. Mm-hmm. It's the microwave generation. Social media, we're a younger crowd. We don't want to wait things out. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we're doing now is scanning. We're scanning impressions. And that creates a shorter wait time mm-hmm. for the patient to get their crown back or for mm-hmm. them to get their particular prosthesis mm-hmm. back. And the beauty of that is partnering with the lab. The lab will take a scanned image of an implant mm-hmm. or the head
of an
implant.
Right
and
away.
They can start working mm-hmm. right away. And you can get a more finalized prosthesis or mm-hmm. finalized crown in a shorter time frame.
Is it as accurate as your impression used to be?
It is. It's probably okay. more accurate okay. because, you know, you have all this technology that's mm-hmm. on board to ensure that the images are reproducible. Mm-hmm. And it's just very, very easy to mm-hmm. do. And, of course, the systems are pretty expensive, but the time is worth it because mm-hmm. you save a lot of time. Mm-hmm. When you're doing a lot of crowns and bridges and implants, it's best to, you know, be able to do it in a more efficient manner. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about dental materials is that you can cut down by not having to spend so much on dental materials if you get the technology. So that's pretty exciting because now patients are able to get their crown in a day.
Yeah, that is exciting. It saves time and you get the same result or better, and speeding up the process, I think, is important. You talked about digital use in dentistry. Like in medicine, we now have 3D imaging.
Sure.
So where patients want to, you know, see a breast augmentation before they invest in one, are you doing the same kind of modeling for... If you choose this, this is how your mouth and teeth will look, or are you incorporating that at all?
Yes. I have partnered with two labs, C&J Dental Labs and Advantage Dental Labs, and they do wonderful work. One of the things that I like about my companies is that they will give you an idea of what the end product will be. For instance, if you know that you want to have broad shoulders and super tall height, they're able to do that so you'll know what you look like, but they do it for the teeth. They'll make the teeth broader and a little bit more bolder so you can see what your teeth will look like, and that's called a diagnostic wax up.
Okay.
As long as patients are satisfied with the end result, they tend to be more comfortable with the procedure.
Yeah, if you have an idea, it is going to be an investment. You're going to live with it a long ways, a long time, so people want to make sure that they're getting an idea before they go, what?
It wasn't supposed to look like that.
It wasn't supposed to look like that. That wasn't what I thought in my mind anyways. So I'm going to bring a little bit of pop culture into our conversation.
Right.
I was actually watching TV in The Voice, and I know you do cosmetic dentistry. Maybe you know where I'm heading. I'm watching CeeLo break a big grin out, and I see like diamonds implanted in some of his teeth. So I know that's a trend. My daughter lives in New York. She's met Kanye West, and her first impression was, oh my gosh, you have diamonds in your teeth. So I'd like to hear a little bit about what is up with that, how you do that, like what's going on with that.
Outcast, pronounce outcast.
Outcast. Andre 3000, here we go.
Yes, I love that group. One of the things about crowns is that if you have the lab, they can pretty much almost do whatever you ask them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes with dentures, we may ask them to put a gold tooth on it because the patient is comfortable or that's the look they've always had. And if you, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What looks good to one person may not look good to the next. I am an advocate for the patient, make them happy. If their spouse is used to seeing them with a gold tooth on their denture, you don't want to take that gold tooth off.
It might be their signature.
It's their signature. They will feel like
Michael Strahan will not close that gap in his teeth. He's known for that.
He's not supposed to close it.
That's right.
And he's doing a great job. Oh, my goodness. But as I was saying, they have to make sure that we are meeting the needs of the patient and the expectations of the patient.
So is that what I'm looking at? Is that actually a crown? Like you've actually put one on, you've ground it off and put a new one there?
I'm pretty sure that is.
Isn't that interesting? Yes. See, I thought it was like drilling in and fitting it in there somehow.
No,
I'm totally missing the boat on that.
Dennis,
it's actually formulated and then
and put a diamond in it. It's probably on the restoration.
Got it.
Which is easier to do.
Okay.
Because if you drill into it, you might strike oil or strike a nerve.
Be blood. That's when I'd come jumping out of my chair without that Novocaine in there. Okay, so is that a trend that you're seeing here in Atlanta with the rap community? I would think it would be a big trend here.
Well, honestly, I've worked on maybe about two or three rappers, and most of the time I was taking out a tooth, because I guess that's my forte. But with the restorative end, if they would like that, I would definitely express to them how we could do it and let them see a end product, just so that they could see what they're getting into. It's amazing with hip-hop culture, and I think a lot of times society looks at it differently. There are a lot of new people on the market that are very creative and innovative. Do you have an entrepreneurial spirit in the hip-hop community, which most people as businesses owners recognize that these are entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs have taken a different shape and style. It's not the typical person that you would see in the IBM and Microsoft. You have entrepreneurs that are doing extremely well. You know, they get courtside
very
seats
with
the Miami
businesses.
Heat.
Look at Jay-Z, very viable business model.
And they partner with an exceptional management team. And that's what it really takes. So I've never approached them as, well, you got to do it my way because this is the way I want to do it. You have to respect their brand. And when you brand yourself, that's what people will notice. They will notice the brand that you have. And many hip-hop artists and the community have branded themselves. Mm-hmm. And they branded themselves in a nice way that distinguishes them from others. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier that indeed when you do an assessment on a patient, mm-hmm. either to fix something or for cosmetically the desired result they're looking for, mm-hmm. that everybody isn't a candidate. So what are some patients that wouldn't be candidates, like for a dental implant, for example?
Good. I'm glad you asked. If they don't have sufficient bone height, we can always consider doing bone grafts. If they're medically compromised with certain bone diseases, it makes it hard for an implant to be successful. Or if they're, you know, receiving any type of radiation or chemotherapy, you always are cautious when you're approaching those situations. And smokers, diabetics, you have to be cautious because everyone's not a great candidate. Typically, we are able to do advanced procedures such as sinus lifts and bone grafts to enhance the bone in order to make it more viable for an implant, mm-hmm. and so that the implant will have more room to integrate.
Mm-hmm. What about with smoking in the blood supply? Is there pretty good circulation when you're doing like a bone graft?
No, we definitely want to stop smoking. Yes, because when the implant fails, it's the fault of not only the doctor or the whatever the culprit is. And sometimes you want to make sure that you isolate the things that could lead to failure or mm-hmm. an unsuccessful case and make sure patients are aware of what they should and should not be doing. Mm-hmm. Some diabetics are so compromised that it just isn't a good option mm-hmm. for them because mm-hmm. of the delayed healing. You have to look at all of the conditions
mm-hmm. of the patient
yeah.
to decide.
So you have to weigh the different scenarios to make sure that it's going to be a successful outcome.
Mm-hmm. What about risks associated with the oral surgeries, like mm-hmm. bone grafts and dental implants? Is it mostly the biggest one is infection or rejection?
Risk are always involved in what
any surgery,
yes,
mouth included.
On the consent forms, we always label out the different risks. Right. And the patient's like, could that really happen?
Right.
Would that happen to me? I'm like, well, there's a chance because it's happened to a patient before. Well, doc, did that happen with you? Did somebody? I'm like, no. But still, it's a risk there. And one of the common things that we'll say is need for additional procedures. Mm-hmm. So in the event that an implant isn't so successful, you are able to do another implant or address the problem, which was the bone or which was the conditions of the patient, and make sure that they're able to have a successful outcome. Mm-hmm. So with the risk, you can minimize the risk, but it's always best to inform the patients of the risk. With wisdom teeth extractions and most surgeries, we are concerned about the nerve and the sinus. So we tell patients, we educate them, show them the graphs, show them the x-ray so they can see, okay, well, Dr. Bobo explained to me I have this much bone height and this is why I need to do this procedure so I can increase the bone density mm-hmm. or increase the bone width or height so it'll handle or support the implant. Mm-hmm. And he also explained to me about the nerve and where the nerve carries and the pathway of the nerve so that I can understand what's at risk or what's at stake here when I do my surgery. When you inform a patient, you give them the opportunity to know and make an educated decision. And I feel that most docs and all docs need to do that.
Okay, very good. Well, we're almost at the end of the time.
Oh, my goodness, time is flying.
I know we have a good time in here. Oh, we look up and it's like almost time to go. But I want to end with a couple things.
Sure.
One, I want to tell you that we've gone over a lot of material, but mm-hmm. a lot of the listeners will remember patient stories.
Right.
And I know that between the kids and the hospitalization mm-hmm. dentistry that you do, this specialized dentistry that we're talking about today, you have to have a couple success stories that come to mind where you think, man, they probably thought we weren't going to be able to, and look at that smile now. So do any of those come to mind without naming names?
Yes, I promise I won't name names. Mm-hmm. I was reminded not to name names.
HIPAA.
Correct. With trauma, I think that's probably one of the biggest areas where patients kind of are so traumatized by mm-hmm. what happened. And there was a case when I opened my practice, mm-hmm. and it was a young man. And he didn't know that it was going to be possible to rebuild his mouth. And he was on edge, you know, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, what do I do from here? And young men, we know that women tend to look at
girls.
Smiles.
Mm-hmm.
And if they see something that looks suspect, mm-hmm. they might key in on it. And, of course, he was very, very ecstatic that we were able to do the implants. He had two on the top and two on the bottom and had a successful outcome from the implants. It just made his day, and, of course, he's a patient for life.
Is he married now?
I think so.
Or either
he's a ladies' man.
There you go. He's a player.
You know, in Atlanta, you got to have a player, right?
I got you. Well, that's a good story.
Right.
And especially I think you bring up a good point with kids.
Correct.
And so the fact that you do a lot of pediatric dentistry and adolescent and really makes a difference, not just to all of us, but especially when we're so up into the self-image of when we're just starting out.
The second story was the younger man that I was spoken about earlier. He just hated the dentist. And so now he loves us because it wasn't a bad experience. He doesn't remember it. He pretty much knows he fixed my teeth. And now he's ecstatic about everything that we've done. And we don't have a hard time with him anymore. It's almost as if he doesn't feel he needs to go to the hospital anymore to get his work done.
So two good success stories. Yes. Thank you for that. All right, so, Mashinda, it is time to bring you into the conversation. We appreciate your patience over there. So you do all the things behind the scenes that allows Dr. Bawa to actually do what he does with the patients. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the practice, where you are, kind of how you work, and kind of clue us in on the practice.
Well, we're located in Buckhead, as you stated earlier. Our practice is very warm and friendly. We're open from 8:30 to 5. As far as my role is concerned, you can book your appointments online at tooth11.com. And my role, basically, if you book your appointment online, you can put your name, give us a brief description of what your concerns is. If you're coming in for a clean and a toothache, you can actually put your insurance information in. And my role is basically to make sure I verify everything and give you a call and confirm. And it's just that easy. I found, you know, that most patients love the online booking instead of calling on the phone, which we're also open to as well.
Right. Now, we talked today a little bit about specialized services, but I know you offer the basics. So let's talk a little bit about what we didn't talk about. So you do cosmetic dentistry, teeth whitening?
Yes, we do a lot of teeth whitening. Teeth whitening, fillings. Our teeth whitening specials, we actually have one going on right now for 1 hour. It's at a great price. You got to visit our website again at tooth11.com. But we do a lot of whitening, fillings. You did a couple of veneers in the past, but we're always open to, you know, new, whatever the patient needs, whatever the patient is, toothache, crowns, implants.
And I'm trying to remember from your website, do you have Saturday hours?
Oh, absolutely.
Half a day?
We do.
So I think that's a lot of times people, especially working and with kids, wonder how they're going to fit it in.
Yes.
And it's not usual that everybody would have Saturday hours.
Yes, we're open every second and fourth Saturday of the month, you know, which gives, you know, a lot of parents that breather room. They don't want to take their kids out of school. They can come in on that Saturday, work half a day. And it's very efficient for our office, but we always have that option open.
Can I say this about Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday, we have a great team, and it consists of our CDA, Ms. Lakizzy Green, Monica Davila, which is our hygienist, and also we have Ms. Middlebrooks. She's our assistant office manager. And we have a great core group. Ms. Douglas keeps the engine going, and she has been with me 4 years?
Yes, four years.
And everyone else is under 6 months to a year.
Okay. And tell me how you balance your time. You're in the hospital, you're out of the hospital, you're over at the
office.
Oh,
I'm a minister.
Okay.
So I go hard in the paint. I go hard in the pulpit. So one of the things is I enjoy ministering, and I know we didn't talk about my missionary works and missionary efforts, and my church is in Lithonia, Big Miller Grove. I like to balance it by doing some missionary work. I've also partnered with some other churches. One of the other churches is Mount Ephraim and Greater Piney Grove. And we are pretty much able to, you know, meet the different needs of various people. And the beauty of working with local pastors is that they tend to mentor you and try to help you. So, and when I'm not working on patients, I am giving my services in either the nursing home or the juvenile home so that I can give back.
And before we went on the air, I think you were telling me you were getting ready to do a mission trip this year.
Correct. We're going to Liberia in 2015, and this is one of my favorite churches, Shaw Temple, AME Zion. They're located in Smyrna. And the pastor's, Pastor George Crenshaw, he's gone, well, I've gone with him numerous times on various mission trips. And what I've learned is, it takes a lot of planning to do a mission effort. I go with several pediatricians, Yabo Baslow, Marilyn Christian, Angela Hall, and they have done quite a bit for children in mission work. And when you can see how they're giving back, it just speaks volumes of doctors that are not just doing it in America, but doing it overseas and abroad.
Very good. Well, we appreciate your work in that. And Ms. Douglas, we're going to go back to you to close the show, and let's give the listeners the phone number of how they can dial in, get the appointment, and reach you.
Our phone number is 404-355-6088, and again, our website is tooth11.com, and feel free to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Bao, and our, like us on Facebook at Dr. Albert Bao Jr.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for being here
today.
Thank
you. It's
been a pleasure.
We appreciate
you coming. And thanks for you listeners out there. Please dial into our sponsor's website as well, www.healthgate.com, and see what offers they have there for you to help you out too. Have a great afternoon and catch us the next time. Bye-bye.
The Doctor's Roundtable has been a production brought to you by HealthGate and Business Radio X. HealthGate is a groundbreaking website where board-certified doctors and specialists offer savings on out-of-pocket healthcare costs. For more information about HealthGate, please visit www.healthgate.com or call 404-692-5377. We hope you tune in next week, and thank you for listening.